calmly, democratically, to the tragedy that befell them, without grudges, and without Donald Trump's reaction, which is, you know.
We have 10 seconds. I want to touch on Catalonia. Massive protests in Barcelona. You're headed there next week. Many government ministers have now of Catalonia have now been jailed
so now
by the Spanish government.
Prisoners in Europe. This is fantastic, isn't it? It's just complete utter radical idiocy. Imagine if the London government, remember 2 years ago the Scots had a referendum?
We have 10 seconds.
Imagine if the London government had sent the troops in to beat up voters in the polling stations. Scotland would have been out of the United Kingdom. What is Madrid doing, trying to get rid of Catalonia?
Yanis Varoufakis, we're going to do part two of this discussion. We'll post online at democracynow.org. Economist, author of the new book, Adults in the Room, My Battle with the European and American Deep Establishment. That does it for our show. I'll be speaking in Buffalo tonight at the Buffalo Convention Center. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, my name is Marty Saxman Montgomery. When I'm at home, I listen to WHFR.FM 89.3 Dearborn.
Let the good times roll. Play the blues.
WHFR.FM 89.3 Henry Ford College Independent Non-Commercial Nonprofit Radio with the Detroit Blues Society present the Fall 2017 Fundraiser All-Star Blues Jam 3 at the New Place Lounge on Saturday, November 11th at 9 p.m. till midnight. Little Arthur Anderson on vocals and harp, Eric Goble on guitar, Sir Tim Duvalier on bass, and Papa Lee on drums. Our hosts for this celebrity jam to raise funds to benefit WHFR. $5 donation entry fee for adults 21 and over, with 100% of proceeds collected going to support WHFR radio and internet broadcast station operating costs. Please join this WHFR event for great music, good food, and fun, as cash bar and menu items will be available for purchase on November 11th at the New Place Lounge, 22723 Michigan Avenue, Dearborn, Michigan.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Good afternoon. This is the new WHFR Journal. Thank you for tuning in on this chilly Friday. Happy post-Halloween and happy pre-voting day. We've got a lot going on.
Can we call it Election Eve officially or not?
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that. I'm Susan McGraw.
Not quite. Yeah.
Along with Alan Mazurek, who is, he's hot on the elections, I'll tell you that. But we've got a lot going on. We want to share some insight on some events coming up on campus, some things related to the upcoming Veterans Day, as well as some more election information. That and a few little items peppered in, I think, should make for an interesting hour. How are you, Alan? Good week so far?
So far, so good. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, a bit of a chilly week, but we are enjoying the fact that fall, perhaps winter, at times seems like it's going to be with us pretty soon, right?
Yeah, a little snow earlier in the week, actually. I kind of freaked out. I saw some little flakes coming down, and it was like, this is crazy. But I'm actually kind of ready for it. Believe it or not, I started eating my candy canes, and to me that means the season is upon us. I hate to say that just after Halloween, but that's okay. We have an opportunity to talk with Cassandra Fluker in just a little bit, and she's going to talk about some things going on this campus and some ways that you can participate in this community for the Veterans Day holiday. And we'll also give a little bit of detail about the November 7th election here in Dearborn and what's going on. There's a voter guide that you might want to get your hands on through the League of Women Voters. There's actually an opportunity to maybe get a job here at Henry Ford College, with a staff and adjunct career fair coming up next week. That, and we hope to hear some updates from Josh, our roving sports reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Busy day. We want to mention also that every Friday during this 1 o'clock hour, the new WHFR Journal is here to share some news and views, but also to sometimes give an opinion or two with a guest or the two of us. And just note that the views expressed on the show do not represent Henry Ford College, its students, its faculty, its staff, or its administration, and they are our opinions. But we hope you'll be okay with that, and we thank you for listening. We have more to come. So how about a quick break, Alan? And then let's get in and talk with Cassandra Fluker, our Director of Student Activities, here in just a few moments.
Sounds wonderful. We'll be back in just a few moments in the new WHFR Journal.
If classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for you night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Make WHFR the station for classical.
Thanks for staying with us. Joined at this time with our own Cassandra Fluker. She is the Director of Student Activities here at Henry Ford College. And Cassandra, we have some serious things going on in our community, in our nation, certainly, and literally in this case in our own backyard. There is a wonderful Veterans Day celebration, memorial coming up, if you will. And we've got you here, and hopefully we'll get some insight on exactly what will be coming up. It's taking place a week from today, next Friday. And it has sort of a personal connection to us here at the radio station, too. So welcome. Thanks for being here. And tell us a little about this event.
Thank you, Susan. First, I would like to start going back maybe 5 years ago. We wanted to create a home for the student veterans at the Henry Ford campus. So a Student Veterans Association was established in the fall of 2012. And so since then, we've been having veteran ceremonies. So this will be our sixth annual Veterans Day ceremony. So the student veterans, they come up with ideas in ways to honor themselves and other veterans. And I support them 100% along with their advisor.
Very nice. Okay. Do we have many student veterans here on our
we
campus?
We have about 270
wow.
student veterans. They're not all actively involved with the student club, mm-hmm. but they're invited to all of the activities, all the programs, and all the outings that we have.
I'm guessing since this is the sixth annual event, the way the celebration and the honoring, the way it takes place has changed and evolved and probably gotten bigger over the years.
Yes, it has.
Very good.
We had a tree dedication last year, and we honored all veterans. This year, we thought we would do the same, but we have one student in mind who we're going to honor, and his name is Mark Sheeler. Okay. The event will take place Friday, November 10th at 11 o'clock. We'll have a keynote speaker and the unveiling of the tree in Mark Sheeler's name. He was a former member of Student Veterans Association. He started his college career here at Henry Ford in 2014. And he, unfortunately, he passed away in 2016.
So. Yeah, we knew Mark here at the radio station. He was a volunteer staff member mm-hmm. and actually a production manager here for a time. And, oh, gosh, he was so vibrant and mm-hmm. well-liked and silly and
yes,
creative
was.
And just a wonderful, wonderful man mm-hmm. with amazing contribution to our stations. So we're all following his, you know, we've been following his story, and we're very saddened, of course, to hear that he had lost his battle with cancer. But we know that that he's left a legacy, certainly for
yes,
us at
has.
Our station, and
mm-hmm.
and clearly in so much that the school is honoring him
yes.
with a tree, a memorial
yes.
tree.
Yeah.
What a wonderful honor for his family.
Yeah, he was active in student life, so we appreciate that, and we appreciate his involvement. And from my understanding, he was also an advocate in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, very much. He worked with a gym, I think it was called Victory Gym, that was a gym nonprofit organization for veterans, in fact. And it was, I remember him telling stories. We used to run public service announcements here at the radio station that he presented as it related to this organization. And it wasn't so much a place to lift weights and work out as it was to kind of pop there and kind of just chat. You know, and it was open to all veterans from all wars, and some of the stories were incredible that he would tell. So, yeah, he certainly has left a legacy.
Yes, he has. And from my understanding, he spent 10 years in the United States Army, made it up to sergeant.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So we're going to dedicate the tree to him this year in his honor.
Where will that take place exactly?
That will take place on Henry Ford's campus between Fine Arts Building, which is Building F, and a Technology Building, which is Building E. It will take place outside.
Okay, very good. In terms of other people that are in the organization, others maybe wanting to do some fundraising or just continue with advocacy, awareness, that kind of thing. Does the group have activities that they try to plan other than through the Veterans Day time frame, or is this really kind of their big push for the year?
Yeah, this is their biggest program, but they're active throughout the year.
Okay.
Yeah, they try to get the veteran families together, and they go out. They have outings outside of Henry Ford, such as visiting Greenfield Village. Hmm. So they have done that in the past. They do volunteer work at the Veterans Hospital. So it just depends on who's in leadership positions.
I see. If someone wanted more information about either the dedication taking place next Friday or about the organization itself, maybe we have a student listening or someone that is a former student that might want to share some information, how might they get more info from you?
They can call the Student Activities Office at 313-845-9865.
Okay, easy enough. In terms of opportunities for all students of the college to participate in some activity for Veterans Day, I know that the school, through your office and through your commitment and dedication, has lots of opportunities, always. And you've got a couple, maybe, that you'd like to mention this time around?
Oh, yeah. Well, in addition to Veterans Day, I just want to mention that students, faculty, staff, and community members, they're encouraged to come to the Student Center to design a thank you card for our veterans.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So when the veterans come over to the Student Center from the ceremony, we'll give them a card, and they will have they're welcome to have lunch with us.
Very nice. So should they come over to your office, the Student Activities Office?
No,
or
to
it'll
the
be,
Student
it'll
Center.
It'll be actually
yeah,
out
I'm
in the
sorry,
center
in
itself.
Pavilion.
In the pavilion.
Yes.
Wonderful.
In a pavilion.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Very nice.
So I hope a number of community members come out and help support the veterans. Say thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. Wonderful. So on the 11th, couple of things going on. What would you
and
like to share?
And on the 11th, again, in observance of Veterans Day, we have a volunteer day for our faculty, staff, and students. We have two sites available. One is Forgotten Harvest. They volunteers will pack and sort food. And the second site is the John D. Dingell VA Medical Center. And they volunteers will assist with the Veterans Day ceremony. They're looking for 25 volunteers. So if anyone is interested in volunteer, they can contact the Student Activities Office, again, at 313-845-9865, and we can get them registered.
Okay, so this is sort of an organized event. Will students and volunteers meet here first and kind of all go down together? Do they tend to meet down at these locations and kind of do their own thing? How
yeah,
does it
once
work?
They register, we give them more detailed information.
Okay.
And we meet at the site.
Got it.
Yeah, we don't meet at Henry Ford College.
Okay. Okay, well, what a way for our students to contribute and continue that concept of learning about service by doing and not just by reading about it in books and things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yep.
That's wonderful.
And when they actually do it, they have a renewed spirit.
Now you get to see that firsthand, don't you?
I see it firsthand.
Yeah, what a wonderful part of your job. Yeah, that's fantastic. Is there anything else with the Office of Student Activities coming up beyond next week? Again, we're getting heavy into the fall season and moving into the holidays and so on.
Oh my goodness, we have a number of activities. We have a financial literacy workshop coming up November 15th. That's open to students, staff, and community members.
Okay, where will that take place?
That will take place in Rosa Knob Administration Building, L.
Okay.
And that starts at 3 o'clock.
On the 15th.
On the 15th.
Okay.
We also have concerts. My goodness, Susan, there's just a number of activities.
That's why you're such a busy lady. I know. This woman, she's not a sitter, I'll tell you that. So if somebody wanted to get a schedule or kind of learn more about what is going on, and again, I think oftentimes on this particular show, we have parents and grandparents of students in some cases that are listening, or people in the community that have a little extra time maybe and want to try to participate in something going on campus. Most of these events are free to the public,
free
to the community, and really, really good.
Yes.
So just start again with your office.
Start with my office. I gave you the phone number. If they want to email me directly, they may. The email address is crfluker@hfcc.edu.
Okay, say that one more time.
crfluker@hfcc.edu. That's my email. So if anyone is interested, they can give me a call or email me.
All right. We appreciate your time and your commitment and dedication to our student body and our community at large.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. And all the best with the event taking place next Friday. We'll keep everybody in our thoughts and pray for good weather, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Last year it was so windy. Everyone... tears were falling from eyes. Hair was flying everywhere. I mean, it was a windy day that day.
Yeah, yeah. It's an emotional event, too, so that only sort of adds to it, I'm sure. But, well, we thank you for your time, Cassandra.
Okay,
always
you,
a pleasure. We've got more on the way. This is the new WHFR Journal on 89.3 FM on your radio dial. Stay with us, won't you?
The healthcare industry will continue to be one of the largest employers of college graduates. More jobs are expected to be with nursing than any other occupation. Are you ready to make a difference in the world? Are you looking for an education and career that has advancement? Right now, there is a high demand for nurses, both male and female. Breaking into the nursing career means getting an education. Henry Ford College offers an associate's degree in the nursing program. All graduates can acquire full-time employment upon passing the licensing examination for registered nurses. For more information, please call 313-845-6300. Once again, that's 313-845-6300. Or look us up on the web at hfcc.edu. Henry Ford College, the right education right now.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the new WHFR Journal on 89.3 FM on your radio dial, or perhaps you're listening on the web today at WHFR.FM. Alan Mazurek, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
And you could go the sort of the popular route for this answer, but maybe you'll throw something obscure our way, and I'm putting him completely on the spot, just
okay.
So you know. Who would you say is your favorite president?
Wow. Wow, there are a lot to pick from.
There are.
45 men, at least all men, up to this point. And I think you have to look at the presidency sort of in the context of its times. I mean, if we go back to the beginning of the establishment of the Republic, you have somebody like George Washington, who certainly one of the obvious choices, right, became, you know, the first president and defined not only the abilities of the presidency, but also helped to define the limitations of the presidency and what it meant going forward. So you have to take that into account in terms of favorite presidents. We'll talk about the 19th century, I'm sure, in just a little bit. We head to the 20th century. Boy, FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, moving the nation through not only the end of the Great Depression, but also through most of World War II was a tremendous, accomplishment in terms of 20th century presidents. There are others who may, find other ones in the 20th century that they felt were incredibly important. And then, you head to the 21st century, and I'll put it as cleanly as I can. The election of Barack Obama, the 44th president of the United States, meant so much to the history of this nation. For millions and millions of voters who finally felt fully invested in the democracy that we are supposed to be and what we represent. And whether you feel the presidency itself was successful, moved the nation forward or not, that's your own decision. But I think historically, that's one that we're going to look back on, hundreds of years from now, as long as this experiment that we call American democracy survives.
Well, the reason I ask, most people, it is just the sort of the popular answer. Most people will typically say behind George Washington, and, you know, historically speaking, will say Abraham Lincoln as their favorite president
for a number of reasons. Hard to root against.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, good guy from what we know and from what the movie told us. Amazing Daniel Day-Lewis impersonation or interpretation of Abraham Lincoln in the movie Lincoln that was out a little while ago. But I know that on our campus, we're going to have an opportunity coming up this coming Wednesday to actually meet, and I'm doing air quotes, Abraham Lincoln. So you want to tell us a little bit about this?
Well, yeah, this is going to take place on, Wednesday.
Yes.
Next Wednesday from 11 to 12:30 in the Liberal Arts Building, which is Building K here on campus, in, room 14, which is one of the lecture halls there. All right, so as you mentioned, Ron Carley, who has been appearing in character as Abraham Lincoln for almost 5 years, is going to speak as Abraham Lincoln, coming up next Wednesday. He says the purpose of his show is he wants to show students that no matter what Lincoln's roots were, no matter how many times he failed, he managed to pull himself up and try again and kept trying until he succeeded. Eventually, when he became the president, the 16th president of the United States, and certainly at that particular point in history, probably one of the most influential and most instrumental presidents in terms of, you know, establishing where we really established as a nation when Lincoln was our 16th president. Some would say yes, but I think we had the first major chance where that was challenged, right?
Sure.
With the Civil War. And certainly one of the most instrumental in preserving a republic that has gone on for, you know, much longer than it existed at the point that he was elected president in 1860. He's, according to Carley, the speaker, he says that Lincoln is rated as the number two president in American history, second only to George Washington himself. In fact, Washington was Lincoln's hero and his favorite president. He was, you know, a common man. He came from what was the frontier land, I guess, at that point, in the 1850s or 1840s, when he was educated, born in Kentucky, raised in Illinois. Very interesting character. Really need to spend a lot of time speaking about Abraham Lincoln because most people know it. This is going to be taking place on Wednesday, November 8th, 11 to 12:30. HFC History Professor Samuel Plaza has worked with Carley to organize the event here on the HFC campus. It's free and open to the public. For more information, you can contact Professor Plaza at 313-845-6425. Or visit SJ Plaza or email him at sjplaza@hfcc.edu.
Yeah, I talked with Sam a couple days ago, and he is very excited to have acquired this coup of bringing Mr. Carley in. I actually had the pleasure of seeing Ron Carley perform at the Greenfield Village at an event probably 3 years ago, actually, at this point. The man is, I know Lincoln was incredibly tall. I think Carley's even taller. And then you put that hat on, and he's like 8 feet tall, but not really. But it's a psychological, I guess, but he's just so exciting. So I like delivery. I like presentations, and certainly the Gettysburg Address. Our whole 47 years ago kind of a thing. But ultimately, just for me, I think Lincoln is one of the people that is sort of quoted the most for rooting for the underdog. You know, how many times can you try something before finally you are successful at it? And his story of running for office so many times and losing and losing and losing, then finally winning and being so revered now by Americans in our history, to me that's a testament to perseverance and just really having some confidence there. So I think our young people can really appreciate and benefit by learning more about his story.
And from when you saw him at Greenfield Village or at the Henry Ford, that's kind of part of the story that Carley tells.
Yes, it is.
Correct.
It's exactly right.
How Lincoln became Lincoln. Mm-hmm. We tend to think of him as a president, as a fully formed individual, but there's a huge backstory to it as well.
Yes.
And that certainly informed, you know, the person that he was and the values that he upheld as president of the United States.
Yeah.
And obviously met with tragic end.
Yes.
But also, you know, obviously had a tremendous impact on the development of the nation.
No doubt about it. And I think, I'm trying to remember if he went into this particular story at the time when I heard him, but I love when he talks about how he Lincoln, decided to grow a beard. So we'll let Ron Carling tell you that. And if you don't know the story about why he has his famous beard, it's very endearing. It's very, very sweet. So there's a reason to come out and see him just for that, you know, just for that, if not all the other important and historic things. But it is open to the public, and certainly for students on campus. We're being told that classes are going to be, you know, bringing students and attending. So it's going to be well attended, but we look forward to you. If you are a Lincoln buff or history buff, come on over Wednesday, 11 o'clock in what we call K14, which is the lower level of the K building or the liberal arts building, right here on our campus, free of charge. It's a pretty good coup, so we're excited to have him.
Something that's taking place off campus and actually significantly off campus, you know, all the way out in Ann Arbor, but something with Dearborn roots is taking place this weekend. And it is a talk that's going to be given and a book signing and a book release taking place from a Dearborn native author, the author named R.J. Fox, Dearborn native. The book's called Tales from the Dork Side. And let me explain with a quote from the book. Growing up is never easy. Growing up with bullies is even harder. And when you're a skinny kid with no social skills, no athletic ability, and a speech impediment, you might as well be covered in bully bait. End quote. It's an excerpt from his book, which is called, again, Tales from the Dork Side. It's on Fifth Avenue Press, a collection of embellished, or I guess semi-autobiographical essays, tinged with bittersweet nostalgia, as the author says. Dearborn native R.J. Fox. He's going to be signing the book at the at a release reception that's taking place at the Ann Arbor District Library at 343 South Fifth Avenue in Ann Arbor. That's going to take place this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Fox says that he never intended this to actually become a book. He was taking a break from screenwriting and filmmaking and decided to try his hand at basically writing essays and writing prose and things like that. So he wrote, about his experience, he feels now as a bullied kid. But I guess kind of one of the touch points that he had as he was writing it was, if you're familiar with David Sedaris, mm-hmm. Big public radio favorite, it was sort of, you know, filtered through that lens. He wrote an essay called Lovable Loser, and then he broke it up into smaller essays and started to serialize it and send it to literary magazines. Then realized, hey, I'm kind of onto something, and decided to put together a book. Mm. So according to, you know, the author, about 80% of it kind of recounts his days when he was a student at Snow Elementary and at Stout Middle School here in Dearborn. Mm-hmm. Describes himself as the boy who ate alone in the cafeteria, played alone at recess, and tried to keep away from the mean kids. Again, it seems like it's, he's coming through the other end of it, and looking at it with a slightly nostalgic lens to a certain extent, that it, you know, kind of turned him into the person that he is right now. But also, you know, bringing up the whole idea of, you know, this is a serious problem for a lot of children as well.
Sure.
And trying to bring some light to it. So, again, the book is called Tales from the Dork Side. It's on Fifth Avenue Press, and R.J. Fox will be signing the book at a release reception coming up this Sunday in Ann Arbor from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Ann Arbor District Library, 343 South 5th Avenue in Ann Arbor.
We've got more on the way. This is the new WHFR Journal. And again, do note that the views that are shared on this show do not represent this college, administration, faculty, staff, or students, and are solely of the presenters on the show today. Stay with us. We've got more to come.
Do you let other people order for you at a restaurant?
He'll have the small lyonnaise.
No, I won't. Or pick the movie you're gonna see?
She'd like a ticket to Attack on Rage Mountain.
Really?
Yeah, come on. So why would you let others make all the important decisions about how your life is going to be when you get older? I mean, is it okay with you if your kids decide where you're going to live?
My kids? Are you ready?
Are you kidding?
Or perfect strangers choose who will be taking care of you?
Not gonna happen.
Nah. Better visit longtermcare.gov, the trusted information site that helps you find your own path forward without selling you anything. It takes you step by step through everything you need to consider about aging and all your options. Longtermcare.gov. Stay in charge by planning now or pay later.
How about a mohawk?
How about a mohawk? How about I put my foot right... Oh, hi, honey.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw, and we welcome you to our weekly sports segment featuring Josh Hebert, one of our students here at Henry Ford College, and also somebody very much in the know of what's been going on in the high school football playoffs, especially as it refers to the local teams, right?
Yeah. Plenty of good games last week, also plenty of good games again this week.
Who came out on top and who sadly is not going to be a part of the playoffs anymore.
Sadly, Edsel Ford did lose last week, Alan, to MLK 35-13.
Now in Division II, King is a pretty solid team, right?
King's a pretty good team. You also have four teams still in the playoffs for the area. Those four are Divine Child, who beat Detroit Cody.
Playing Redford Thurston tonight. Yeah. Go ahead, go and talk about the Cody game if you want.
They lost 35, they beat Cody 35-0 and will play, as you said, Redford Thurston later tonight. You also had Fortson, who beat Western International last week 43-8. They will host Caztec a little bit later on tonight.
That's another, just like King, that's another great Detroit public school team.
That's another powerhouse in the area.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you have Wyandotte and Carlson who are still in it. Wyandotte beat Temperance Bedford last week 30-14 and will face off against Yipsey Lincoln, another tough opponent for the Bears in Wyandotte. And Carlson beat Huron last week 29-19 after having to come back from behind, and they will face off with Riverview tonight.
And Riverview's had a pretty good season as well, so that should be a nice little downriver tilt, huh?
Yeah. Also, one game of note, even though it is not in the area, it was still one heck of a game last week.
Yeah.
You had two teams score over 60 points last week. You had a final of 84-62. That was Climac Scott's winning over Fulton, which set an MHSAA record for total points.
That would actually be a pretty high score for a high school basketball game, let alone a football game, huh?
It would be. I mean, you have plenty of interesting things going on, but then I do have my picks for the week.
Okay, go ahead.
We have, going down the list, Fordson, Divine Child, Wyandotte, and Carlson. They've all shown lately that they have what it takes to move on. I do think Fordson does upset Caztec.
So that gets them, you're saying, through the districts and then on to regionals the week after that, right?
Yeah.
Now, we learned a lot about roller hockey last week.
Yes.
Did we see how things have been going there?
Roller hockey is an interesting thing here on campus.
Did you get a chance to experience first person?
I have not yet.
Okay.
I am looking at going out soon for a game.
Okay. And then, obviously, the winter sport's going to be starting up here on the HSC campus with basketball and a variety of other things.
Wrestling, too, is also coming on pretty soon.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to your continued reports. High school, as we know, football continues to go, and obviously other sports as well. I know in cross country, there's quite a few local teams that have done well and made their way. I think they are having their states this weekend.
I'm pretty sure states is this weekend, and if not, it's next week.
Well, if there's any notable news from our local schools, we look forward to hearing about it next week.
Thank you, Alan.
Alan Mazurek, along with Josh Hebert and Susan McGraw for the new WHFR Journal. We'll be back in just a few moments here on WHFR, the station that's making waves.
Let your creativity shine while learning the various facets of the baking and pastry field. With Henry Ford College's Certificate in Baking and Pastry, students will explore international cuisine and the art of garde-manger by preparing decorative food displays. For more information, please contact the Student and Culinary Arts Center by calling 313-845-1572 or visit them on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. And Alan, we've got the big day coming up on the 7th of November, and we know that that's voting day. We've been dedicating a good portion of this particular radio show in past weeks to talking about some of the different election components, both in Dearborn and a little bit of Dearborn Heights. And we now wanted to bring in the big guns. That's right, the people that know everything there is to know. Boy, what an intro here. Everything there is to know about, at least about voting, let's put it that way, for Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. And I'm referring to the League of Women Voters. And I'm joined in studio at this moment by League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights President, Mary Jo Duravage. And Mary Jo, you're no stranger to this show, at least in some capacity. So we're so glad to have you in.
Well,
welcome.
Thank you, Susan. It's been great. And just a disclaimer, I do not know everything about voting. I will share what I know and make some good guesses, but hopefully I'll have what you need.
That works for
thank
us.
You.
That sounds fantastic. Well, if you would, let's sort of begin at the beginning. League of Women Voters. We hear that name sort of bantered about, particularly this time of season, mm-hmm. and it tends to be the only name that just always rises to the top of the credibility list for some reason. What's the organization all about?
Well, I think the reason that people respect us so much and look for us is because we are nonpartisan. And we were started back in the 20s after the women were given the vote. And the idea was to provide information to the new women voters about issues, mostly social issues in the beginning. But yes, people know us mostly for our voter guides. And also we have another publication called Who's Who, which I can tell you about. Mm-hmm. But the nonpartisanship is the big thing.
Yeah, it's hard to find anybody or any outlet or any entity of a true nonpartisan nature in this day and age, that's for sure. And we've certainly seen witness to the fact that when you say you're nonpartisan, you really are. You said people know you by the voter guide. One could just get a ballot in their own, you know, at their own city hall for mm-hmm. what's going to be coming up. But you really go way further than that, which is fantastic in terms of providing information about the candidates. It would seem obvious, though, that you would need candidates' support in which to do that. How does that process work? And let's sort of speak in general terms first.
Well, we typically put on forums, candidate forums, which a lot of people really appreciate. They can come in person to those, or we, in the last several years, have had them taped so people can go on, in the case of Dearborn, they can go on the city's website and it's on demand. The voter guides, we get information from the candidates. We have a system called Vote411. .org, which is a national tool that actually is owned by the League of Women Voters now. So the leagues throughout the country will get the names of the candidates and then contact them. And there are standard questions we ask: what's your background, biography? And then typically for the voter guide, we'll have two or three questions that would be a little bit more focused on, you know, what are your hopes for the city? How do you feel about recycling? That kind of thing. And so those are the two main things we use for voter education during election time.
Okay. How many years have you been in this role as president?
Oh, I just started in July. So the joke is that when we were trying to find leadership over the years, I'd say, well, what we have to do is find somebody that's retired and has no money to go traveling or down south. And as of June 23rd, that was me.
You defined your
so,
own position.
Yes, I didn't realize it. So I've been in the league, though, for years, since I was a young woman.
Yes, very good. In your time being connected with the league, how would you say the tone of response from the candidates tends to be? Does that, is it sort of, does it go in waves? Does every candidate always respond to provide information to you to be a part of these voters' guides or not?
People want to be working with the league, for sure.
Okay.
This past one, I think there was one person who just couldn't get their material in, and I'm not sure what was going on there, but they definitely want to be in the league. And I've, after our forums, I've, you know, the candidates will come up and thank us, you know, for the forums and stuff. And some of them will say, you know, I don't go to every one, but I know that I'm going to go to this one. And again, it's because of the reputation that we try very hard. For instance, myself, the vice president, and our voter service person cannot be shown to be at all associated with either party. Maybe not even issues, I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. So we really, it's very important to us to keep, you know, that integrity. So yes, we, the candidates love us.
I'll bet they do, yeah. And so too do the voters that kind of want a quick little place to ultimately make up their own minds, make up their own decisions, and that's the point of why you're putting this information out there. But do you find that the information is well received by communities? We have Dearborn and Dearborn Heights that the league is sort of covering. Would you like to see more people pick the stuff up and read it, or what's your take on that?
Well, we do make them available online. There probably are better ways to get it out there online somehow, but we do take them to the libraries, the city halls, the community centers. Someone told me they got one at Leon's, so must have dropped some off of there. I've delivered them to the Common Grace coffee shop, and they went there, and even one of the Big B's. Where we did go, and was a great success, was Soda's Track or Treat. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it,
okay,
yeah.
So we were one of the organizations, first time we did it. And I took a couple boxes, and I think each box has 250 in them. And we went through at least one box. So as the kids were getting their candy from us, I was giving them out the voter guides. And people were so happy to get them.
Nice.
And then we know from the libraries that they're going to, because I'll come in to pick up my stuff. And they'll say, hey, Mary Jo, we need some more voter guides. So people love them. And if people have one thing I did different this year, I'd gotten a voicemail from a woman at one of the senior housing places and said, hey, could you get some over here? So I contacted the woman at the city hall who takes care of those, and so we got some out to some of the senior housing. But if people have ideas for next year for places to put them, you know, maybe some of the business owners have some ideas, just let us know.
Great. Mm-hmm. Do you print a certain amount? And I suppose it depends on which election,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, what you got exactly, going on. Right. Yeah. I don't remember how many we did this year, but we, you know, it's always a choice. Like, we still have several, you know, maybe a couple hundred left. Mm-hmm. So it's always a gamble. But we so appreciate people that donate to the league, because that's what we use. We have an education fund that helps pay for those voter guides, and also another publication we have. So if anyone wants to help in any way, just go to our website and you'll see a nice big donate button. And because we are a member organization, but we only get to keep $5 of our $60 dues. So we're always in a fundraising mode.
Sure.
And so we always appreciate any of the donations from the community.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about funding next, of course.
Okay.
So, because this stuff isn't cheap, certainly. And these
right.
are thick packets, and there's a lot going on. And,
yeah.
And I suppose the more popular they get and the more informed people become, the more materials you're going to continue to need. So so costs are going to continue to grow.
Well, you know, it's funny, Susan, because every meeting we have when we're talking about the voter guides is, okay, these are online. Do we really need to print them? Mm-hmm. And so I'm one of the ones that says, yes, we have to print them. And even though I do have a computer, of course, I like to sit down and go through them, you know, and I'm not alone. So for the foreseeable future, we will be printing the paper voter guides.
Nice. How many in your membership in the Dearborn Heights?
I happen to know it's 111.
Wow.
Because I just had to call some people that hadn't renewed. So it's 111 active members.
Okay. And what would you say, and as an active member for many years and now speaking as president of the league, what would you say is the general makeup of your membership population?
Well,
and why did they join?
Well, we there was an influx of new members after the general election.
I
People want to get active and get, you know, voting and so forth. But being in Dearborn, we've made an effort and been somewhat successful in getting some of the Arab American community involved. In fact, we have at least two on our board. And I was kind of laughing before when we were talking about the candidates, because several people who ended up running for, like, council, they did join. And some have renewed. Some have not, but it is a good way to get to know people. And our annual meeting is usually very fun, because a lot of the candidates will come and some of the legislators, elected officials.
Okay. You know. When you're not putting out voter guides and answering questions of people wanting to know more about what's happening in their community before an election, what's going on during other times of
the
year?
Okay, so I mentioned the Who's Who. That's another committee that will be working on that. And that is after the election, sometime in probably early February, will be a publication called Who's Who, Your Elected Officials. Mm-hmm. So that'll update, it'll tell people who their new people are, or if the same ones, but with their phone numbers, emails. Because the idea is to have people not only be informed, but then when you're informed, well, tell your legislature how you feel about an issue so they can make decisions based on the community. We also have meetings throughout the year. We usually meet the third Thursday of the month. I've been trying to have meetings just so people are continue or have an opportunity to be engaged. Mm-hmm. So we just had one on, well, actually we had one on net neutrality during the summer, and then one on recycling. And the one coming up in November is on the opioid crisis with SAFE. So they're not necessarily voter related, but they should always have sort of a policy tinge to it. So the idea of, this is kind of something, and I want to do it just kind of small. We meet at Christ Church in the basement, and five people come, or, you know, 50 come. That's fine. So it's just a way to get people engaged, and they're always open to the community. And I do an electronic newsletter for supporters and members, and try to put in things that are public affairs related, just to get people more informed.
Nice.
You know.
Do you have evening meeting opportunities?
Right. The meetings are typically held at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
We won't have anything in December unless I do something about On the Table, but that might be like on a Saturday or something. But the website should always have what the newest meeting is, because I can't promise that there's a meeting every month.
Sure.
You know, it just kind of depends on what's going on. Hopefully we'll have something in January. Again, the third Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, and I want to talk further about a couple of things that you just alluded to, but why don't you go ahead and give that contact information, that website, briefly right now, then we'll do it
again. Oh, so it's www.lwvddh.org. So it's League of Women Voter DDH.org. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh. It is a wealth of information, absolutely. Silly question. I think I know the answer. I want to confirm it. I know Alan's thinking this. You don't have to be female to be a member of this organization.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. No, I'm thinking that, oh gosh.
I know.
At least 10%, maybe more, are men. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. There have actually been attempts over the years to change that. But
you mean to get rid of men altogether?
To get rid of the women. You know, it's like have it, you know, women and men or League of Voters. Who knows? That might change someday. But right now, I think just the history of it and so forth.
We've earned it.
But we love men. Yes, of course.
We do love men.
And also, actually, it's interesting. So at the last national convention, the membership parameters changed so that you do not really have to be a citizen, and you can be 16. It used to be you had to be able to vote. Mm-hmm. Well, able to vote, so you have to be 18 and a citizen, but that was changed.
Citizen of that community, you mean, or just
a U.S. citizen?
Okay. Yeah. Well, the makeup, now getting a little more specific into the Dearborn Heights chapter, would you say, like, do the Dearborn people sit on one side and the Dearborn Heights
unfortunately,
the other side of Telegraph?
There are certainly a lot less members in Dearborn Heights than in Dearborn. And I think years ago, there used to be actually two. And that was when, you know, mom could stay home and, you know, had enough time to do all these things. So at some point, we merged. And me being from Dearborn, and usually the leadership happens to be from Dearborn. So, like, when I do my e-newsletter, I don't know all the stuff that's going on in Dearborn Heights. So, you know, it might look like, well, she never writes about Dearborn Heights, but if I don't see it or don't know it. But no, we all get along, of course.
So looking for more people from the Dearborn Heights community, help fill in some of those gaps.
Sure.
Great. Well, let's talk about this November 7th. Let's talk about what people should expect at the polls. And I know we don't want to put you on the spot too much because you don't represent the municipalities. You represent the organization that is supposed to help us, as Alan said, become more informed citizens and voters. But polls have, precincts, and then we have basic hours of operation, and people should expect to be able to go and do this task rather painlessly.
I'm laughing to myself because actually at home on my card table is a set of questions from the ACLU, and I copied something from the city's website on voting items, and of course I left it at home.
Oh, well, that's okay.
But anyway, one thing, sometimes you'll hear people have been turned away because they didn't have their voter ID. Mm-hmm. People need to know that if they don't have their voter ID or their license, some kind of government with a picture, do not go away. You ask for a provisional ballot, and you have to be able to sign it. There are things like if you've moved within the community, then go to, and you haven't changed your registration, well, go to where you would vote if you were still living at your old house, that kind of thing. If you are not happy, if you're being told something or not, for some reason being told you can't vote and you know you should have a right to vote, then call the city clerk, and they should have that phone number somewhere, at the polls. Sometimes there's poll watchers, but you don't really know, who they are, I suppose. But one nice thing, if you don't want to go in on Tuesday in person, you can go up till Saturday to the City Hall. And I think this might be a state rule. I'm not sure. It's open on Saturday. The city clerk from, and I think in Dearborn, it's like 10 to 2. And get a ballot and fill it up right out. And then just turn it in. And you could do it the rest of, tomorrow's the last day. But So go in Saturday, which I think is really convenient.
Sure.
And just if I could say about the absentee voting, people think, I don't have a reason to do absentee voting. I'm not older and I'm, not going to be out of town. And I say to them, look, the city clerk, they want you to do absentee ballot, especially, in an election, in a big election year. Who knows? You might be out of town. Go get it if you want it.
Yeah, if it's going to secure that you're going to vote.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
I suppose there could be a little bit of a guilt involved.
It's so funny.
I'm not an invalid or I'm not elderly.
Yeah, and there are certainly efforts at this in the state by some of the legislators to open or to increase access to voting, and that would be one of them. No reason absentee ballot, voting.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, in a few minutes, we'll talk about some of the local times and things for our polls being available to our community and so on. But you said, particularly in a big election year, they want more of that. Do you consider this a big election year?
No, I was thinking more presidential. Yeah,
because
you hear about people waiting in line for, I don't know that it happens in Dearborn, but some places, for hours. That's crazy. People have to get to work. They got kids at home. You wonder when legislators are making rules about voting or any really issue, are they thinking about every person in the community, not just themselves, about how they act? Well, so tell stories, if you hear about someone having an issue at the voting place, tell your legislator so that they can put that with their reasoning for voting bills, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What really does happen to people? And, and in our area, you got a lot of new voters. So we got to protect that right.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Mary Jo Duravage is joining us. She's the president of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. And boy, what a wealth of information you've been. See, you said, I don't know everything there is to know about voting, but so far you've been pretty dead on.
One thing I want to, real quickly, one thing that we've been doing for the last few years is going into the high schools, usually in March, and meeting with the seniors. I've not done that myself because I've been working, but good time to tell the students about the voting, the importance of it, and then to actually register them. And then we'll take the registration applications to the city clerk, and I'll clerks, because there are the students represent many communities. So that's another big thing that we do. It's kind of fun.
What What about that thing where people say, oh, if I register to vote, then I'm going to have to be called for jury duty? I do hear that from students a lot here on our campus.
I think that stopped a long time ago. Think it's a driver's license.
Well, I'm glad to know that. That gives me some ammunition when I can say, yeah, what
people
are you saying?
Yeah, people used to say that. You're right. And I could see maybe new voters, too, maybe, you know, who knows what's going on with their family, maybe being afraid to be official. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. Mm.
Okay. Food for thought for
food
another
for
discussion
thought, yeah.
down the road. In the city of Dearborn, the community that you represent, we have both elections for city clerk mm-hmm. as well as council, but also mayor mm-hmm. this time around.
Big
so
one,
I think, yeah, we consider locally we would consider this a pretty big,
yes.
you know, certainly not
important.
Presidential, but
important.
Yeah. Turnout at the prelim voting, what's that called? Let me think.
Primary.
Thank you, Alan. Mm-hmm. Couldn't remember the word. Not very good.
No.
How much do you in your organization look at turnout, voter turnout, and does that affect anything that you do?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. trying to think what we would do officially to get out the vote.
Mm-hmm.
We did work with the city to put something on the marquee the day before the last day to register to vote.
Good.
So that was one thing we did. But, you know, everybody in the country that cares about our democracy is working on the same issue.
Sure.
I didn't get the people out there to vote. And we just keep harping at it, I guess.
Yeah.
And talking to people like you.
Well, we're glad you're doing that. We're glad you're having that talk with us. And when it comes down to the time to vote or the opportunity, you're there, you're registered, you're qualified, you're going to go out and vote, make it an informed decision. And the League of Women Voters does this better than anybody else, certainly, like literally anybody else, I would venture to say, in the entire nation when it comes to providing, as you said, nonpartisan mm-hmm. information about the candidates. Mary Jo, there's an event coming up middle of the month. Did you want to mention briefly?
Yeah. On November 16th, we'll be meeting at Christ Church in the Fellowship Hall, which is at Military and Cherry Hill. And we are having a representative, or the director of SAFE, which is the Substance Abuse Coalition. And many people probably have heard of this group. It's kind of new. But their whole mission is to educate people about the substance abuse, really, epidemic. And then we will want to hear a little bit more about policy from him, and that's the kind of the vent he's going to use. So we're looking forward to anybody coming. It's handicap or accessible.
Okay. You don't have to pre-register or anything like
that.
Oh,
no,
just kind
no,
of
no.
show up.
But, you know, I just wanted real quick, in terms of voter turnout, one of the biggest things we can do is to make voting easier. And so many states make it a whole lot easier than Michigan does. And so that's something that all leagues are working on is voter access.
Nice.
You know, like early voting and that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard it bantered recently about making voting day actually a national holiday, so people
that's
don't have
that's been
have
talked
to go
about,
to work.
And also in some states you can register to vote the day of the election. So, you know, we're certainly not there in Michigan.
Okay. All right. But we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Okay. Mary Jo, it's been a wealth of information. Thank you so much for your time. If, again, somebody wants to reach you as president or mm-hmm. the organization, would you go ahead and give that website for the league itself as well as that voting website that will provide information
right.
for local communities?
Right. So the league office, well, the league website is LWVDDH.org, and the one to get voting information for the elections is vote411.org. Now, of course, that will only be operating during the time of elections, but next year, then we'll start inputting information there.
Okay.
And it's kind of fun. It's if people go on to use that, the way it works is you're kind of comparing two candidates at a time, so just kind of work with it. It'll be worth it.
Excellent. And then a number to reach you directly if necessary?
Yes, and the office is 313-278-6476.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. We commend everything that you and the organization is doing, and we wish you continued success in doing it.
And thank you, Susan, for the opportunity.
Certainly. We appreciate it. Mary Jo Duravage, president of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. A lot of information there. We've got more to come. Stay with us. This is the new WHFR Journal on WHFR-FM.
Are you interested in the world of media? Have you ever wondered how a TV or radio station operates? Well, Henry Ford College has a program that is just right for you. HFC provides a telecommunication program that gives you real-world hands-on experience with the skill set and equipment used in the film, TV, and radio broadcasting industry. You will earn an Associate in Arts degree while learning about film history and criticism, digital audio and video editing and production, media writing, performance, and broadcast journalism. You will also have the opportunity to join Henry Ford College's very own radio station, 89.3 WHFR.FM, a fully functioning, non-commercial, and FCC-licensed station. Classes for telecommunication are held during the fall and winter semesters, so please go to HFC's web advisor and sign up today. For more information about the telecommunication program, please contact Susan McGraw at 313-845-9842. That number again is 313-845-9842.
And that will wrap up this edition of the new WHFR Journal, the pre-voting election day edition.
I was going to say, away we go, off to the polls on Tuesday, right?
Goodness gracious. We certainly encourage that you, if you have the right to vote, to exercise it, certainly. And one thing I know we wanted to give was the basic voting hours at local precincts. Alan, you got that?
7 a.m. to 8 p.m., at least in the city of Dearborn, is the election. I'd imagine similar in the city of Dearborn Heights as well. We can look that up real quick, but I would assume so. And then City of Dearborn will be posting at least unofficial election results on the city's website. They say generally on the evening of the election after polls close at 8 p.m. And, of course, there's plenty of other places where you'll be able to go to get up-to-the-minute election results from other elections going on in and around Southeast Michigan, too.
That's right. In my community in Garden City, we actually do live coverage as the votes come in. It's actually very exciting. But we haven't talked much about Garden City, and that's okay because we are Dearborn here. We also mentioned vote411.org, and just note that if there's not a League of Women Voters in your particular community that you're looking for the information, there will still be information about the election itself. So there will be a ballot for you to look at. So just because your community might not have a league or a community doesn't have one, you still can find voter information. We just wanted to clarify that. So we've got a great weekend ahead, we hope. And Alan, thank you as always for your help and your time and informing the community is what this show is all about, the new WHFR Journal, right here on WHFR Dearborn.
I knew there was a better career out there for me, but I couldn't afford to quit my job to get the necessary education. Thanks to Henry Ford College, I didn't have to. In just 2 years, I earned my associate's degree and was ready to start a new career in the industry I love. I work hard for myself and for my family, and I've earned the chance to advance in my job and in my life. Henry Ford gave me that chance. I'm a Henry Ford College graduate, and I'm future-driven.
Henry Ford College. Future-driven.
Hello, my name is
Trevor.
I am in
Wilhelm Scream.
You are listening to
WHFR-FM, Making Waves.
Making Waves.
Mexico.